it's easy to become hardened by the number of images and temptations that bombard us each day. For heaven's sakes, walk through the grocery store and you see all those images on the front of magazines, and then go home, turn on your televisions, and it doesn't take long before you see those advertisements of how sexy you'll become wearing some cologne and all those erectile dysfunction products. And then switch on your computer, open your email, and find those unwanted posts there of X-rated images that are available with just one click. I think you would be shocked if you could count the number of times that we are tempted each day. Sometimes life feels like a continual stream of choices, doesn't it? Will I trust God for the power to turn from that temptation? Or will I dwell on it for maybe just a little bit? Will I take a second look? Will I click on that tempting link? Just one time. I took a little bit of work and I looked up the top five self-reported temptations of Americans in our world today. And according to the Barna Group, 60% of Americans, that's 60% of Americans, are often or sometimes living in a state of noticeable or debilitating temptation to anxiety or worry. And then, of course, all the fear and dysfunction that usually comes along with that. 60% of Americans are often or sometimes stuck in habits of procrastination. We simply cannot do and get done what needs to be done in a timely manner. 55% are often or sometimes overwhelmed by the temptation to eat too much. Yeah, tell me about it. Overeating and the growing concern of obesity here in the United States is, of course, not news to us. 44% of Americans admit that they face temptations to overuse electronics and social media such as Facebook, video games, and television. I even got a Facebook account. 41% of Americans say that they are often or sometimes tempted by laziness or by not working as hard as reasonably expected in their occupation. All of the generations that this Barna Group studied and polled are about the same when it comes to temptations of slothfulness and selfishness. Selfishness is a core sin within humankind, and this perhaps explains why people of all ages are tempted to hurt family members and friends, co-workers, bosses, that with this selfish slacking, doing what feels good to themselves, however much it may harm other people. How did Jesus do it? I mean, come on. 40 days fasting and abstaining from all temptation? I can't go 24 hours without chugging some vile liquid with engineered chemicals and flavoring in it. And then when you think that you and I, we've got the nerve to think we can work our way into heaven. We stand around thinking here at Zion we were going to make a better church. Yet we give so little to help others know more about Jesus around this community and in the world. Me and you, you and I, we can't do anything to help get ourselves into heaven, but Jesus can. Jesus will raise you up. But you see, the wages of succumbing to all of these temptations that we face as we do in fact ever so often, the wages is a terrible death. An eternity in the pits of damnation. But we have been now a redeemed people. The God-man Jesus Christ paid the full atonement for my sins and for your sins. Heaven is there for you, and he will raise you up. Did you hear what St. Paul wrote today in our epistle? He said, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. You have heard the word of God. You've heard that he will raise you to the land he is giving you for all eternity in his heavenly realm. That he will raise you to himself, that he, the Lord, will be your dwelling place. And he will be your refuge from all evil. And you will believe. That's what he said. And he said, believe, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. My dear wife introduced me to this wonderful hymn we just sang many years ago. And I just love this, On Eagle's Wings. We were singing together in a choir at Bethlehem Lutheran Church down in Jacksonville Beach, right on the beach near Jacksonville, Florida. And we sang this song. And our hymnal places this song in a place of trust, trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this hymn is a wonderful Lenten song as well. Eagle's Wings was written from Psalm 91, which we also spoke today. For here in the season of Lent, we focus on all those temptations we're bombarded with. We focus on all the difficulties you and I experience in life today. And we focus on the theme of worship during Lent. We have extra services. We worship every Wednesday as it is, but these Wednesdays during the season of Lent, we have a special theme that we're celebrating. So, during Lent, we focus on this theme of worship. Not just any worship, but true worship. For we examine not our frailties and shortcomings, but the might and the power of the Lord. There's a difference there, you know. At least most of us confess being weak and unable to fulfill our responsibilities under the law. Whereas there's plenty of people today claiming full self-sufficiency, and they don't need any help from some God. But the focus of true worship comes to us because we just don't get it right. We don't. Well, we light the candles, we sing the hymns, we say the prayers. Excuse me. But most of us do so in an effort to show our Lord just how pious we think we are. We go looking for that spirituality increase. Sorry. One of the souvenirs I brought back from Israel. We go looking for a spirituality increase from God. What that means is we're looking for something that's going to make us feel better emotionally. But the real true worship, it's a physical thing. It's something that you will feel, absolutely, when you come to church. But this increase in spirituality we think God's going to give us if we sing a little louder or let others see us praying more intently. And then, of course, there are those who foolishly know they've got no need for organized religion. You've met one of those, haven't you? I've met several. Oh, you're a pastor of a church. Oh, that's not. I don't need to go to church. I have a spirituality. I believe there's God. And I'm okay. I don't need religion. And then we don't say anything about that. We keep our lips shut, or we give them a nod and we say, oh, yeah, I understand how you feel. And then we sit back and watch them perish in a hail of fire and worms. No, true worship comes from God. That's how it works. God gives us what he wants us to know. God says his word to us. God gives his sacraments to us, the font, baptism. He gives us the Lord's Supper. All of that comes down from God, and then we give back to him our praise and thanksgiving. True worship. But in this new era following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, true worship, it's not conditional, you know? Conditional, like, hey, if I do this for you, then you do that for me. And no, that's not how it works. God gives freely. He just pours it out upon you. Just like the absolution I just spoke to you from God, that your sins have now been forgiven. It's scattered. It's cast out to everyone sitting here today. There's no conditions. It's freely given. It's his great grace given to you. His grace, mercy, and peace overflow in an abundance. And for our part, this part of worship where God just gives all of this wonderful grace to us, what's our part of this? You've heard it before. As he richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life, he defends us against all danger and guards and protects us from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is our duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. From your catechism. So we worship him. And we worship him because we've got nothing left. Okay? Left here is a hollow, vacant, and defiled scrap of skin and bones, incapable of fending off the assaults of the evil one. Instead of standing up to sin, we cower and we dodge and jump into that hole where it's, oh, it's all so much more comfortable there. We fill our bellies to the brim with junk instead of the life-giving body and blood of Jesus Christ. We watch the filth and we click on those links to porn faster than we can pull a Bible from that old dusty shelf. It's just easier to do. The good Reverend now, Sainted Reverend Alfred Wakefield used to always say, the pathway to heaven is very narrow. It's very narrow. But the roadway to hell, it's like a super highway. It's like 20 lanes across. It's angled about like this, and it's got grease on it. That's how easy it is to slide into hell. And so, by doing our worship here today, even today, our worship has become diluted. Our hymns have become nice songs to sing. Our prayers become those beautifully scripted pleas for everything from yet more food to that maybe nice new looking truck they're selling this year. So yes, during this season of Lent, consider your unworthiness and confess before God and one another that you have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Yes, during this season of Lent, come to church. Often hear his word of passion, what our Lord went through for you. Listen as God's word wonderfully captivates your ears to hear how Jesus is suffering, death, and resurrection. How his suffering had to precede his glory. It had to happen. Hear again and again how Jesus himself abstained from all those temptations from the devil just so that he could mightily lift you up on eagle's wings to make you shine like the sun. Hear often, will you, how your Lord Jesus Christ holds you in the palm of his hand, in that hand that has the mark from the nail. So yes, do not fear the terror of the night. Yes, the Lord has become your dwelling place. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Worship him, people. Worship him who died to set you free. Praise him who endured all temptation for you. And call upon the name of the Lord to lift you up and to save you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.